Christ's sake.
Live from the center of the universe, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, philosopher, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a smooth operator, Richard J. Ringhausen, and marksman, sculptor, and daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who can turn his head all the way around, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen!
Woo! Yeah, all right! Yeah! That, huh? Yeah! Woo! All right, everybody, calm down. We've got a show to do.
All right. You know, there was something that hit me before we started the show.
And Your wife?
We were sitting here eating donut holes.
Yeah.
And they're just coated with sugar and icing and lots and lots of cinnamon.
Oh, yeah.
And we
there's nothing healthy about them.
Uh-uh. And we were trying to say, you know, like if it had been mint, they would have been very minty. But since it's cinnamon, they're very...
Cinnamony.
It's kind of hard to say.
It is kind of hard to say.
So, you know, sometimes you do cinnamonly or whatever. But what it got me thinking about was when your kids were little and they would routinely mispronounce a word.
Yeah.
Would you perpetuate that?
Oh, yeah. Shrivers. I've got the shrivers.
Oh, got the shrivers.
Kristen would get the shrivers.
The shrivers?
Yeah.
And do you still do that to her? It's always chilly. Shrivers? What, you got the shrivers? my youngest one, Julia, when she was really little, couldn't say the word squirrel.
Squirrel?
No, she didn't do the squirrel. She did squirler.
Squirler.
Squirler. Squirler. And I still do that.
So,
I just started calling her squirler.
So you didn't do anything to help her. You pointed out some flaw and then accented it.
Well, what's my last name, man? Ringhausen. Don't we all do that?
Yeah, I know. Of course.
Did you see the video of Brad and his grandbaby?
No. What, Brad?
It went to you.
Well, I didn't watch it. Just because something comes from Brad doesn't mean I open it.
Well, Brad and his wife, Lori, are on the floor playing with this baby that they've got.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there playing with it. And then the baby farted. And then guy looks at Brad and smiles real big. And Brad says, "That's mine. That's my granddaughter."
No, I just got a little
clip. It was like Brad's happiest moment with
I got just a tiny clip of that, but it didn't have Brad and Lori in it anywhere.
You don't see them.
No.
But you got to turn the sound up on your video.
Okay, well, I didn't turn the sound on.
It changes everything.
Okay, well, I will try to do that.
Okay, it's just weird. Just some of Brad's weirdness.
Question for you.
Ask?
Let's say you were on a rocket ship, took off from Earth, right, and just headed out in any direction you wanted.
They're usually a plan before you do that.
Yeah, but let's say they're just getting rid of you. Are you eventually going to hit a wall someplace, or are you just going to keep going forever? Assuming you can live forever.
There's that space-time continuum thing, so...
Yeah.
It just keeps going, and I never change age, and I just keep going and going and going and going and going.
Is there a limit or a wall, or you just keep going forever?
Do you mean like the edge of the universe?
Yes. Is there an edge of the universe?
I think what will happen is eventually that rocket ship will slam into God's open hand, stopping you.
That's what I'm asking.
Is that what you're asking?
But if you don't subscribe to that, the universe is infinite, right? I mean, isn't that what
That's
scientists
the theory,
like
yeah.
to say? If the universe is infinite, right, so we could take off from this spot in any direction and it would be infinite. This would be the center of the universe.
If we left from here, that's exactly right.
Because that was the opening here. It's live from the center of the universe, and that's actually accurate.
Yes.
Except God really has his hand out waiting for you to smash
yeah,
into it.
Based on that theory, no matter where you're at that point in time, for you, for each individual, it's the center of the universe. You're constantly standing in the center of the universe.
Correct. But if it's not you and me,
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
Get that. Got it.
Here from the center of the universe.
No problem.
You went to a conference, didn't you?
I did go to a conference.
Did you learn anything?
Oh, God, no.
Have you ever gone to a conference where you came back and said, wow, I'm glad I went to that.
That is the best conference I've ever been to. Listen, no.
I'm trying to think.
What kind of conference? You used to go to attorney conference where you'd rub elbows with fellow wizards and
yeah,
think deep thoughts. And
you know, when I was state's attorney in Georgia County, right?
Yeah.
I never went to any of the state's attorney conferences.
Because you figured you already knew everything.
Well, I did know everything. But by the time I got to be state's attorney at Calhoun County, right, they instituted something called continuing legal education to where lawyers have to be supposedly take classes every year to stay on top of the law.
Or attend a conference.
If you attend a conference, you get all the points you need to get it, and you don't have to take any other classes or buy anything. And I can't think that any of the attorneys that went to them were any smarter for having gone.
Okay.
The whole business of continuing legal education is a gigantic laugh.
Yeah. After you've been an attorney for 20, 30 years, saying, what are they going to do that's different, man? Right?
Yeah.
People say you want a young doctor and an old attorney.
Good answer. Congress and the state legislature and all the administrative agencies are constantly putting out new rules and stuff that supposedly, I guess, you should know about.
Yeah, rarely do they ever affect you.
No, exactly. I mean, those things are just there to give congressmen something to do.
Right, to put their name on something.
Yeah. I mean, if all the legislators in America died tomorrow and there was never another law enacted, I would say it would be 20 or 30 years before it would affect you in almost any way.
I think at this point in my life, if I'm going to a conference,
yeah,
it's not about the content of the conference. It's about the location of the conference.
Yeah, and here was the other problem with going to like the attorney's conferences, right? I don't drink.
No, that's any conference. If you don't drink and go to, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, what's...
A lot of these people are getting away from their jobs, and they just drink heavily.
Oh, the one thing the state's attorney's conference had, there was always a hospitality room.
Right.
You didn't even have to buy your beer.
Right.
Or drink. You just show up, and they liquor you up.
Right.
You know, they had it...
Who lobbied at, like, if you went to an attorney's conference, who, you know, like, usually at a conference, they'll have vendors.
Oh, we have that, too.
Okay, well, who are the vendors at... A legal conference.
There'll be companies that sell like online research programs and stuff. You see some of that, you know. And I guess there were other things, but I never went around any of those. I would circle around to pick up the free ink pens and stuff that they had in their cups and then say, no, I really don't want any.
Right.
But no, going back to the drinking thing, the state's attorney's conference is at a big hotel right across the street from the Hancock Tower in Chicago.
All right, there were some real hard hitters there, I bet, huh?
Yeah, but it used to be in a building like on the other side of the block until apparently one night a group of the state's attorneys got liquored up and went out and hijacked a street cleaning machine and like drove it around Chicago until they... cops made them stop, but since they were all state's attorneys, nobody got in particular trouble, but they got banned from that hotel and they couldn't have their conference there anymore.
So they moved across the street and
tore
that place off. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, you know, when they ban somebody, you got to do something that's costing the hotel money, as opposed to, you know, I would think that having a whole bunch of attorneys there, they're just throwing money away on stuff.
Yeah, I would think. Well, the county's money.
Right.
You get a stipend to go to these things, even.
That's kind of weird. Okay, so I go to these conferences, you know, it's a national conservation conference. And it's nationwide. And so they move it around to a different city every year. And they may change the location, but the thing that wasn't changing was the menu. All right? So you get these, you know, a couple thousand environmentalists all together, and they serve up a lot of vegetarian stuff. And, and the one that just broke the back on the camel was, I went in and they were offering a goat cheese hummus wrap.
You need to hang around with attorneys instead of environmentalists.
God. Steak, lawyers,
lawyers don't have any qualms about that sort of thing.
Okay, I got to back up a little bit here. We were at Christmas time, me and the staff and some of our former staff would all, you know, head over to St. Louis and have, you know, just steak dinner, right?
Yeah.
And just to kind of unwind end of year type thing. And we had this new kid that was working for the company, and we go to this restaurant, and you know, I pull him aside now. I said, no. You know, we don't have, we didn't have a good year, and we don't have much money in the budget for this. So, you know, kind of take it easy on what you order in here. So, and it was the new kid. It was me, Pat Getten, brother Dennis. I think Scott Murley was with us. I can't remember who else. And so we get in there, and the waitress comes and said, Mike, you're the new guy. You go ahead and start us off. I says, well, I guess I'll have a
grilled cheese sandwich,
and he kind of looks at me, and a bowl of soup. Got it. And then it comes to me, I'll have steak and shrimp, Pat, steak, Dennis, steak, Smurly, steak. Thank you. That's everybody. And the new guy's, okay. I said, it's only by you ordering that grilled cheese sandwich that we're able to have our regular meal.
Suzanne says that when she used to go to conferences, like medical type conferences.
Yeah, she'd take food with her.
No, she said that when you went to the conferences, they would make you sign in and then sign out and like have you sign in halfway through to make sure you're actually going to all the stuff.
Oh, my God.
What I remember is years ago, a young state's attorney from up north, right?
Yeah.
Who I knew from college, made a point. He sent me an email saying, sign my name in when you come in and sign me out when you go, would you?
Wow.
But he still came to Chicago.
Ah.
Well, he would sign himself in.
He was on the street cleaner.
And then just disappear and you wouldn't see him again for 2 or 3 days.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to these conferences, and the food's always horrible, right? So I start doing homework in advance and looking up, you know, some, you know, a good restaurant, popular restaurant.
What city
close
were you
by?
In?
Well, it was very different cities.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But in this particular case, I went to Denver, Colorado, right?
Yeah.
And so middle of the day, lunchtime, I escaped the conference center. That's the other thing is they, you know, build in so much time, you have no time to go anywhere. You know, it's just like you do this, then this, then this. You never really get to see the city that you're in. So I take my time. You know, lunchtime, I scramble out of there. I go into Old Town Denver, and I'd already picked out this restaurant, but I'm kind of walking around, you know, looking at the shops and stuff like this. And they got the old cobblestone-type streets in that area. And it's a kind of hippy-dippy kind of area of Denver. And so I'm walking down the street and walking.
Like Sedona.
Walking across the street. And as I crossing from the street to the curb, you know, it's got the uneven cobblestones. And I trip. I caught my toe and I start to, like I was about to fall. But, you know, I went into that giant step type thing, you know, to where I'm trying.
That's about 50-50 whether or not you end up on your face or not.
Keep from going down, you know, and as I'm doing this, I feel, you know, like I feel like I strained something in one leg. But anyway, I came real close to falling down, but I didn't. I caught myself, you know, at the last second. But as this all transpired, sitting along the sidewalk were these two hippie freaks, maybe homeless, maybe not, I'm not sure, playing guitars as I'm walking past. And when I'm going through and do my stumble and almost fall, one of them just burst out laughing, just like, and I turn around to him, spun around, and I'm like, what the? And he says, sorry, dude, good save. Like, I guess he thought I was going to kill him.
He thought he was going to take his guitar and just smash it over his head.
Yeah, like Animal House style. But, he recoiled and came back real good with the good save, dude. Really.
Now, the state's attorney's conference, I was telling you about that. Illinois. We're in Illinois.
Yeah.
They would have it in Chicago. But the judges, when they had their convention, it was always in Las Vegas every year.
Vegas, baby.
Every year, Las Vegas, and the new judges just couldn't wait for the first conference. And then about 5 years ago, they decided it would be better to keep it in state. And they didn't send them to Vegas anymore. Great uproar among the young judges.
Yeah, where they sent them to Springfield, maybe Decatur.
Decatur. U of I. Champaign-Urbana. At least they can do is send them like to Western Illinois University, Macomb.
Yeah, that same trip I went to Denver, and I looked up another restaurant. Well, actually, I'd seen it on TV. You ever see the TV show Man vs. Food, where the guy goes around and eats at different restaurants around the country, but he'll always get into one of those eating challenges where you got to eat a 64-ounce steak in an hour drink 5 milkshakes and you have to do all this without throwing up. But anyway, he had highlighted this restaurant. I said, wow, that looks cool. So we go to it, but we had to take a taxi way across town. Like, are you sure we're going to the right spot? I'm looking out the window, and it's like, well, this doesn't look good.
Like in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Kind
of. He's proud of his city. He wants to show you around.
Right. And so I'm like, ugh. And finally pulls up. And there it is. It's just like on the internet. But it didn't really explain that it was in an unsavory part of town. So anyway, we get out. And there's
Was the food savory, though?
The people were lined up. It was fantastic.
Okay.
But you come up to this like really old building. And you climb this narrow staircase and get to the top of the staircase, and here's like a 3-piece Western band playing, with a fiddle and a banjo. And
you like banjo, don't you?
Something else. And on the walls are the taxidermied heads of just every animal you could possibly imagine.
Longhorn steer.
And there are so many heads on the wall that you can't see the wall. I mean, they just got them packed on there, And
your kind of place.
Yeah, and you can get the meat of pretty much any animal that you can think of. You could get rattlesnake, you could get buffalo, you could get kangaroo.
Bear.
Bear. You could get anything. And, everything's got this kind of Wild West theme to it. And it was delicious. But what was unique about it and why it was where it was at, it's the oldest restaurant in Denver. It's like supposedly the oldest continuously operating restaurant west of the Mississippi. And the reason it was in such a crappy part of town was it was right next to the original Stockyards.
Ah, handy.
Yeah. And the Stockyards went away and the main part of town went the other direction, but the restaurant stayed there and thrived all this time.
Because it's got a good reputation.
It's got a great reputation. They always had fresh steaks, man. They just kill the cow and cut it up and throw it on the fire.
So did you say, make mine to go and you take it to your conference and sit there at the table?
At the table carving up
steak while they're talking.
How's your hummus? Huh? Yeah. You know how many people would be wishing that they had some of that steak right there? Yeah. Yeah.
Would they shun you? Did they throw you out?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So is there always a host?
Because there's always the people that wish they had the gumption to step through that threshold and eat a steak.
Go get a big steak. Yeah. Have you ever hosted a conference?
Yes, I did.
Do you feel more important when you're there then doing that?
No, you're just so damn busy you don't have time to think about it.
But you know that all the people sitting out there going, what a waste of time. All the work that you did.
Yeah, exactly. The same things that I've been thinking for the last 20 years.
And whatever food you give them, they're going to
look at this goofball. This ain't right. This isn't any good. What is this? Is this?
I know you're knocking.
Is this chicken or fish? I don't even know what I'm eating.
When you decide you were going to host a conference, you should have said to yourself, okay, if I was sitting out in the audience, what would I be thinking? Pretty much, there's nothing I'm going to give these people that's going to make them happy.
Okay.
Other than free things.
I was at this statewide board of directors meeting, and they were talking about, you know, well, the next conference is going to do this, this. And I said, whoa. I said, we go to these different places, and we schedule all these things, but we don't ever see the communities that we go to. You know, the same thing I complained about. And they said, well, what do you suggest? I suggest that we go on some field trips.
Wow.
And they said, that's a great idea. I make a motion that Ali Ringhausen is the chairman of next year's conference, and he's going to arrange field trips for it.
Yeah, you felt bad about opening.
Just slow the F down, man. I don't want to do that.
You open your stupid mouth.
I should have just kept my mouth shut, ate my hummus goat cheese wrap, and gone home.
What I noticed is that at the state attorney's conferences in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
The Cook County state's attorney would show up, and the Cook County encompasses the city of Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's far and away the biggest state's attorney's office. Well, it's one of the biggest ones in the country.
You right.
know? They have hundreds of people working right. for them.
And how many attorneys do you have working under you?
No, that would be none.
Okay.
But you're sitting there going, okay, this guy's going to step out and talk to us. And I know good and well he's not stepped foot in the courtroom since he's been elected.
Right.
You know, he's strictly a politician.
Absolutely.
Or she. They switch every so often.
Right.
But
it's just a mouthpiece.
The she is just as useless as the he. I mean, and there's nothing that they're going to tell me as a
that applies to
that
a tiny
practicing
county.
State's attorney in a small county where you literally prospect speeding ticket. Yeah, I'll handle it. Murder. Yeah, bring it in.
Yeah.
You know, and you try them and
from
do
top
them all
to
yourself.
Bottom.
Yeah. And then you got some politician who's going to come in and blather at you for a while. But they always open.
He mostly attends luncheons.
Conference always opens with that. And then I assume they disappear and they don't. They have someone who comes and signs their name to the thing so they can get their credits.
Right. But definitely not going back to their office.
Yeah. I can't remember in all the conferences that I went.
And then he immediately gets on a plane and goes to Vegas.
Yeah. You look around the room, you know, and the state's attorneys from your neighboring counties, you'll recognize them.
Or right.
If they're slightly bigger, they might have an assistant there. But in all the years I went to those, not one time did I ever see the Cook County state's attorney sitting in that room writing stuff down or listening to the talks that are being given.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're nowhere near as good as the attorneys who are down south actually trying cases. How's that for cynicism?
Wow, Rick, you've really soured on being an attorney.
Nah, I retired. I'm happy now.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. I do like going to these different cities because now that I'm old.
Dur.
I plan like a vacation on either side of the conference then.
Good move. Excellent yeah. move. Now, whenever we did the state's attorney's conferences, Sue and I would go together. We'd take a train to Chicago, which is cool. And then while I was at the conference, she would go out and do Christmas shopping because it was always in December. So it worked out really well in that regard.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you just said you kind of a little vacation trip.
Okay. When you would go to a conference, was the conference always in like a convention center that is also attached to a hotel?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely, yes.
And did you ever make the mistake of dragging your feet, not getting signed up, and then you have to, the hotel attached to the conference center is booked up, and you have to stay in a hotel that's not attached, and you have to go outside in Chicago in the winter?
No. I have missed the deadline for signing up for the book of rooms that the state's attorneys lined up.
That are cheaper price.
And then I called up and booked my own, and it was cheaper than the rate they were giving the state's attorney's conference. Yes.
Wow.
Same hotel. I stayed in the same hotel.
Did you bring that up at the conference so that they could all sign a lawsuit against the...
No, I'm just assuming that, you know, that whoever's in charge of reservations at the Giant Hotel gets a call. Hi, it's the state's attorneys conference. We're going to bring attorneys in from all over the country. What kind of rate can you give us?
Right. Attorneys.
Oh, we're going
attorneys
to get,
from
so,
all over the country.
Oh, it's the attorney's rate you want.
Yes, yes. Okay, so this is a few years ago. I had, you know, like multiple conferences that I had gone to, and one of them was right here in the state of Illinois, and I was going up to Starved Rock State Park, where they have a lodge and
good state park.
You've been there.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm heading up there, and I got thinking, man, I can't remember if I booked a room for this or not. Yeah, you know, I knew I signed up for the conference.
There's campground.
Because I was speaking at it. And and so I called Sarah. I said, hey, Sarah, did you?
You didn't have her with you? You didn't just lean over and say, hey, Sarah?
And she's been to and has no desire to go back. Yeah. And anyway.
No Christmas shopping at Starved Rock.
No. And I said, hey, did you book me a room at Starved Rock State Park? She said, well, I don't know. Let me look through my notes. She said, I know you're signed up for the conference. I said, well, I know that. And so she hangs up, calls me back and says, no, you're not. You don't have a room there. And I said, well, call and book one for me. She said, okay. And so a few minutes later, she calls back. She says, I got some good news and some bad news. And I said, okay, what is it? She said, I got your room. Well, that's good.
It's in Chicago.
She said, no, but it's not in the main lodge. It's in one of the cabins. You know, they have cabins. You know,
yeah, okay.
One of the cabins. I said, well, that's fine. I don't mind walking from the cabin over to the lodge. It's, you know, just a few feet, really. She said, wait a minute. That's still not the bad news. I'm like, what?
You have to share.
No. She said, there's no TV in the room.
Wow. What are you going to do with yourself?
I said, where's the next closest hotel? So she canceled that and booked me in a room. I had to actually drive to get to the conference each day.
Really? You did that rather than not have TV for a night?
Yes.
Did you ever think about bringing a book and reading?
Oh, my God.
I could take that as a no, then.
No. Besides, I only read books when I'm driving.
Now, for your environmentalist conferences, right?
Yeah.
Do they have hookers?
In coat hooks? To hang your coat up when you come into the conference room?
Well, I mean, I just think about the state's attorney's conferences.
Everybody assumes that's what's going on at a state's attorney's conference. That's, you know, like,
I think they cut that part of the program out the same year they stole the street sweeper.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure of that. Besides, isn't that insurance salesmen who go to Ohio for their annual conference? We need Greg's opinion on that.
Well, you know, insurance conferences,
they get wild.
Yeah, you don't want to. If you're not one of them, you're not getting in. I mean, it's just like that.
Secret handshake type thing. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I do want to thank you for throwing in that opening song, Motherless Children.
Yeah, for the people who still get the music on the openings, Motherless Children. But that little clip is only a minute four, so I had to really...
You're really cranking it out.
I had to hustle to get it all in before it circled into the...
Most of your intros are 3 or 4 minutes
long. The lyrics. they're almost all minute 30.
Okay.
Just routinely, I go for a minute 30 on the intros.
Okay. But that, for our podcast listeners, that was a personal request.
Okay. I want to talk about one more conference. Days. You remember back in the day that they had the Orchard Growers Conference.
Summer Orchard Conference.
Summer Orchard Conference.
And we hosted it.
One year we did host it. That was the same year I brought Suzanne home, introduced her to the family. But going to those conferences, right? The one I remember was we went to one that was up right at the Chicago-Wisconsin border. Do you remember going to that one?
Not sure.
Well, the car was stolen.
Oh, I do remember that, yeah. I do remember. Is that why we were up there?
Yeah, we went up for a fruit meeting conference.
Yeah.
And on the way back, Dad decided, or going through Chicago, that he's going to show us where he did his military service at a Nike base in the south part of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And we got there, and it was just a big parking lot. They haven't shot off a Nike missile in like 50, 60 years, so right. There's nothing there. So he decided he's going to take us out to dinner in South Chicago.
Yeah.
Came out, car was gone.
Buick LeSabre. Gone.
Well, shoot. It's the first time we ever had a car stolen.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the last, though.
Really? You had one stolen?
No. Out at the farm, they had...
We did have a car stolen.
SUV stolen.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, a guy came, applied for a job, and they were so, asking me if he's ever worked in Orchard and all this. And they said, do we know you from somewhere? And kind of Hank sat down and said, well, yeah, I stole your son's SUV. I said, I've been in jail since then.
I just got out. I didn't put that on the resume, but yeah. I thought I would go ask for a job.
Oh, so you can drive a vehicle.
Come on in.
Yeah. All right. But that's true. That's a true story.
That is a true story.
All right. We got to go, Rick.
Well, this was an interesting conference.
Time to hang it up.
See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by the Illinois District Attorneys Association. We're looking for a few good women. No portion of today's broadcasts may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. There aren't any.